Nora might have wept. She longed suddenly to talk with David. All these years, he'd missed her too. All these photographs, all this silent, secret longing. She went through the images once more, studying Paul as a boy, catching a baseball, playing the piano, striking a goofy pose under the tree in the backyard. All these memories he'd collected, moments Nora had never seen. She studied them again and then again, trying to imagine herself in the world David had experienced, into his mind's eye. 2 hours passed. She was aware of being hungry, but she couldn't bring herself to leave or even to rise from her place on the floor. So many photos, all these pictures of Paul, all these anonymous girls and women mirroring his age. Always, all these years, she had felt her daughter's presence, a shadow standing just beyond every photo that was taken. Phoebe, lost at birth, lingered just out of sight, as if she had risen moments earlier and left the room, as if her scent, the brush of air from her passing, still moved in the spaces she'd left. Nora had kept this feeling to herself, fearing that anyone who heard her would think her sentimental, even crazy. It astonished her now. It brought tears to her eyes to realize how deeply David, too, had felt their daughter's absence. He had looked for her everywhere, it seemed, in every girl, in each young woman, and had never found her. Finally, into the expanding rings of silence in which she sat, gravel popped faintly, a car in the driveway. Someone was arriving. Distantly, she heard a slammed door, footsteps, the doorbell ringing in the house. She shook her head and swallowed, but she did not get up. Whoever it was would go away and come back later or not. She was wiping tears from her eyes. Whoever wanted her could wait. But no, the furniture appraiser had promised to stop by this afternoon. So Nora pressed her hands across her cheeks and entered the house from the back, pausing to splash water on her face and run a comb through her hair. "I'm coming," she called over the rush of water when the doorbell rang again. She walked through the rooms, the furniture all clustered into the center and covered with tarps. The painters were coming tomorrow. She calculated the days left, wondering if she could possibly get everything done, remembering for an instant those evenings in Chateauneuf, where it seemed possible her life would always be serene, expanding into calm like a flower budding into air. She opened the door, still drying off her hands. The woman on the porch was vaguely familiar. She was dressed practically in crisp, dark blue pants. She wore a white cotton sweater with short sleeves, and her thick hair was gray and cut very short. Even at first glance, she gave the impression of being organized, efficient, the sort of person who wouldn't stand for any sort of nonsense, the sort of person who took charge of the world and got things done. She didn't speak, however. She seemed startled to see Nora, taking her in so intently that Nora folded her arms defensively, aware suddenly of her dust-streaked shorts, her sweat-damp T-shirt.